on episode 4 of A Duff Said.
A lot of our guys have never even been to Ford Field, you know, to see a Lions game or anything. So for a lot of them, it was the first time they've ever been down there and got to experience that.
The new Lothrop High School football program has played in more postseason games at Ford Field than the Lions have hosted there. And they got the rings to prove it.
The rings themselves are probably as big and gaudy as you can possibly get. In fact, they were the biggest ones you can order.
The Hornets are the reigning Division 7 state champions. And that's A Duff Said. This is episode 4 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button. So last November, in the Division 7 state championship football game, you had the tiny town of New Lothrop taking on Madison Heights, Madison. On that Saturday morning, you had guys on both ends of the field, guys who are probably going to go on to have success in the college game, putting up ridiculous numbers. This turned out to be the highest scoring state championship game in MHSAA history, with the Hornets prevailing 50-44. And for New Lothrop, it was their school's second state championship in football in 12 years. I am joined now by the head coach of the New Lothrop Hornets. Clint Galvis is my guest. Clint, it's been a minute. Thank you so much for making the time on A Duff Said.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about your guys. Last month, a big month for the Hornets. You guys got your state championship rings. How did it feel when you finally got to put it on?
It's pretty cool. It's definitely something we've been kind of obviously waiting to do here at New Lothrop. I mean, the past 10 years I've been here, it's obviously been the top goal for us was to get to that state championship game, and obviously winning it was pretty special. And as far as the rings go, you know, it's one of those things, as soon as we ordered them there towards the end of December, we got everything kind of finalized and the kids kind of designed them. And of course, once we ordered them, it was like every week, hey, when the rings coming in? I'd have like 30 some kids coming down every day, when the rings coming in. So when they finally got here, it was kind of a relief because they were finally here, and obviously the kids were super excited about it. And I mean, as the coaches were as well. So pretty special thing to finally get those, put them on. And actually this past Monday, we just got back from spring break, and all the kids decided to dress up and wear our rings. This is kind of the first time we kind of all got together again since the banquet and whatnot. And so it's kind of cool. Everyone was dressed up, a lot of them in three-piece suits on Monday at school and wearing the rings. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, you posted a pic on your Twitter page of the guys wearing their rings. They were pretty pumped. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you as their coach to see that moment?
It was pretty neat. It was obviously something I'll remember, just kind of handing those rings out. We didn't have like a big ceremony or anything. And unfortunately, we had a lot of guys gone because spring break, it was the week before spring break, and we had a number of guys that left early. So, you know, we handed them out to the guys that were here, and obviously they were pretty jacked about that. And then it was funny, though, because we had a number of kids come back during spring break. They were gone on vacation and came back a little early. So I'm getting calls while over break, even over the weekend, hey, can I get my ring? So I actually had to issue, you know, give some out over the break. And that's kind of why Monday it was like the one time we were all together and decided, like I said, to kind of dress up and kind of make it a special event. And it was just it was really cool. I mean, the rings themselves are probably as big and gaudy as you can possibly get. In fact, they were the biggest ones you can order. And it was just something, you know, that in kind of talking to them, it was just, we wanted it, obviously, we kind of wanted them that way. And, you know, you wear them, obviously, on special occasions, but more often than not, they're sitting up on a shelf. So we figure you get them nice and big, and as they're sitting up there, you know, something to look at. So,
well, you know, these guys, they got to have their bling nowadays.
Oh, yeah, that's it, too. A lot of, hashtag bling, that was what the kids were posting. So, yeah, it was, like I said, pretty neat, pretty cool. It's something they definitely earned. And yeah, you know, and now a lot of these kids coming back, we got a good core group coming back, and you know, I think it's kind of a little added incentive as well. I mean, everyone everyone wants to get a one to put next to this one. So
now, just looking at the town of New Lothrop, it is a town that's pretty much surrounded by farms and not a whole lot else, but
no.
football a lot of people don't know this, but for a time, I was kind of a New Lothrop guy myself. I lived not too far from the school, and there's not a whole lot out there. But as far as the football program goes, there is a lot to be said about the program at New Lothrop. I mean, 19 years in a row, the school has been to the playoffs. You've won 10 games or more almost every year that you've been coaching there. But just getting to Ford Field and playing for the state title is something that has always eluded you in the program. So what was it about this year's group that finished the job?
Man, we definitely had a pretty special group this year. But, you know, we've had some of those teams that I felt heading into, you know, in seasons past that I was like, hey, this is, you know, definitely a team that can get over the hump and get the job done as well and win a state title. And unfortunately, as you said, we just kind of came up short. You know, I think this was our fourth semifinal this past year. So on three other occasions, we were in that semifinal game and just couldn't seem to get over the hump to get to Ford Field. And, you know, this group, I don't want to necessarily say that they put in as much, you know, more work than any other group. I'd say they put in as much work, just because we've had so many great teams and great players come through that have busted their tails. And this group was no different in that regard, where, they did put in the time in the off season and all summer long. And, you know, I guess this group definitely had this mental toughness about them though, where, they never really seemed to get rattled, at all. And, you know, I guess maybe in past there was times that we were, I feel like we were beating teams pretty handily for the most part throughout the year. And then we'd face some adversity in the playoffs. And sometimes maybe we just didn't know how to handle it. As well. And this year, we just didn't have that. We were in some tight games and, you know, the Pomo game, even in the regional final, we're losing at halftime. And there was just no one really missed a beat. I mean, no one dropped their head. It was like, hey, here we go. So, and then of course, obviously in the finals there, I mean, playing against a pretty good Madison Heights team, they came back and tied it up there in the third. And, I think in the fourth quarter, we were tied up at a point there too. So, and there was just never, I don't know. They never wavered at all in that regard throughout the season. And so I guess maybe to answer your question, just maybe the mental toughness was probably the difference this year. I think we were as mentally tough as a team as I've ever had.
And certainly you've got that mental toughness too. But after going year after year of just coming up short, was there ever a part of you that was thinking, you know, are we ever going to get this done?
I guess I'd be lying if it says it doesn't kind of creep in there. Especially we had a tough loss in 2015 in the semifinals. We went up to Ishpeming went up to Marquette to play Ishpeming, there at the Upper Dome there. And that was just a game that I felt like we were the better team. But we got outplayed. I mean, and hats off to them and their coaching staff. They did a phenomenal job that game. And it was like, walking off the field then, that's when I was like, man, what is going on? What are we not doing right? I guess coming into this year and into the playoffs this year and into the semifinal again this year, I don't know. I didn't really think about it, but I can remember thinking about it after, you know, the 15 to 3rd loss in the semifinals. But this year was just kind of a whole different animal. I didn't ever try, you know, I guess I just tried to keep it from getting in my head and just prepared the same way we always do. And I guess took care of business, I guess, in the semifinals this year. And then once that happened, it was like, you know, that's what kind of everyone was like, well, the monkey's off your back. But, it was a good feeling just to finally at least reach that game, to reach the finals. And, that was pretty special.
There was one amazing plus that you got going into this year, because you knew that you had the goods in starting quarterback Avery Moore. But then you get a big surprise coming into this past season. Aiden Harrison's family moves from Flushing to New Lothrop, and suddenly you had one of the top talents in the state at wide receiver playing for you. But I got to bring this up, because I read somewhere that you didn't even know anything about him at first.
No, it's and just like you said, we knew coming, kind of like obviously going into our summer stuff, that we had a really special group of kids. We had pretty much a full offensive line returning. So we were pretty stoked about that. We had a returning quarterback in Avery Moore. We had a lot of good young talent coming up that I think as a coaching staff, we said, hey, you know, we're going to be in the midst of things. You know, we figured we were a top, you know, one of the top five teams anyway in the division, and felt we'd be there competing. And then, Just like you said, we got a pretty pleasant surprise in Aiden Harrison. And I, you know, if you remember, we were just finishing up, you know, school basically. And it had been mentioned that, you know, I don't know, one of the kids, you know, how kids on social media and that kind of thing said something about, hey, here, Aiden Harrison might be coming here. And and you know, what you heard is true. I didn't even know who he was. I actually had to go look him up. And I remember typing his name in on YouTube, and his highlight film from his junior year pops up, and I watch his highlight film, and I go, holy crap, this kid's a player. So, you know, and I kind of just obviously wanted to stay out of all the, you know, what was going on with him coming over and that kind of thing because of, you know, everything else going on. And as far as, you know, recruiting and that kind of stuff, I didn't want to get involved in any of that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm on break. Actually, we were on we were just about to go into our dead week, and I got a call from our from the high school and said, hey, a kid just came, wants to play football. He's enrolled, moved in the district, and happened to be Aiden Harrison. So I called my AD. I said, he's moved in apparently, and when's he able to start working out? And he looked into it, and you know, by the end of June, he was working out with us there. So yeah, and then I think he was here for 2 days maybe, you know, working out in the weight room and stuff with us, and we had a 7-on-7 at Wayne State. So he goes down to 7-on-7 with us down in Wayne State, and it was like instant chemistry with, you know, with Avery Moore, our quarterback, and not only him but our entire team. I mean, in fact, by the end of the summer, he was voted as a team captain. So I think that kind of says a lot about him, not only as a player but as a character. And you know, obviously he was a huge part of our success this year, a huge part of our state championship team, but more than anything, he's a great kid, more so than even a great football player.
More than 1,100 yards of total offense and 24 touchdowns for you. You knew what you had going into the season, but did you ever imagine in the beginning that he would have that kind of impact?
You know, not really, because even in talking to him, when he came over, he didn't really play offense at Flushing. He was just primarily a defensive back. They moved him around from corner to safety. So we knew we were getting on the, obviously in the secondary, we knew he was going to be a big, big help for us. And he was. I mean, he basically became a lockdown corner. We would just put him on their opposing player's best receiver, and he would literally lock that whole side of the field down for us. And as far as run support, he's phenomenal. He would come up and just, I mean, he's just a big time player. But offensively, we weren't 100% sure, but I knew we could, if we can get the ball to him in space, and we run obviously a lot of spread option and jet read, and we just kind of, you know, we had a former player in Amari Coleman who was, you know, probably one of the top, I don't know, football player, high school football players, I think, ever in the state. And so we had kind of pulled out some old stuff we used to do with Amari to get the ball in his hands in some space, and we were able to do that. We got the ball, and you get him in a little bit of space, and with the speed that Aiden Harrison has, you know, he created a lot of points for us because, you know, once, like I said, once he got out there, he was pretty hard to catch.
He only played one season for you at New Lothrop, but now he's heading to Missouri to play for the Tigers this fall. What was it like for you to see someone from New Lothrop go on to play in the SEC?
Obviously, it's pretty, you know, pretty special, pretty neat. I mean, here in, like you just said, a little town of New Lothrop, not a whole lot around here. We are surrounded by cornfields, but football is a big part of this community. And, you know, to have a kid like that go on to the next level at the, you know, especially at that level, at the SEC level, you know, I don't know that that's ever happened here. I mean, to be honest, at New Lothrop, where kids, you know, we've had, like I said, a couple go, you know, Division One to MAC school. But to have someone, like I said, go to the SEC is pretty special, and it's definitely just something kind of cool for the whole town. And obviously we'll be following his the rest of his career as he continues, but like I said, he's just, and it's, you know, obviously everyone sees him on Friday nights and sees him, you know, down at Ford Field and sees what a talent he is, but as I said, just a tremendous kid, and you know, an awesome leader for us this year. And he was as big of a leader as he was, you know, as a part of our success on the field. It was just all the stuff he did out the field as a leader was huge for us. So
I'm talking with New Lothrop head football coach Clint Galvis on A Duff Said. Now, during the season, the Hornets were 13-1, and Coach, you had another one of those remarkable years where you pretty much took care of business in the regular season. But when it comes to the playoffs, you don't get to make the schedule. You have to play who's in front of you. But when you get that rematch with Pauamo, and that's the team that, like you said, beat the Hornets the year before, was that something you guys were hoping for?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we had talked about that all offseason. We knew, you know, kind of coming in, like I said, even in the summer, that Pauamo was going to be, you know, they had quite a bit back. They were going to be obviously in the mix, and we figured to be in the mix again with what we had coming back. So with just the geography of where our schools are at, we figured that we'd meet them up again sometime, whether it was the district like it was the previous year or in the regional. And, you know, and sure enough, it kind of came to fruition and something we had kind of anticipated and something we had kind of, I guess, almost openly talked about as a team, like, hey, you know, what's, you know, Pauamo's training right now. And we use it as definitely motivation for us all year and off season. And because they have been the top dogs for couple years, they won two, you know, straight state titles. We're in three consecutive ones. And we knew that in order to get where we wanted to be, that they were going to be in our way. And, you know, and it was just another all out war battle as we've had with them in the past. And, you know, obviously for us, fortunately, we just came out on the top end this year and, you know, went on to win it. But, you know, and I'm sure again, you know, next year it's, I'm sure now we're definitely, a lot of their motivation and, you know, we're going to continue to use them for ours. And I'm sure there's a good chance that that we can see each other again here for the 2019 season.
You know, I'm thinking Pauamo Westphalia's girls and boys basketball team, they took that loss in football very personally because they just won the state championships in both girls and boys basketball. Like you said, they're an all-around powerhouse. So how satisfying was it for you guys to win that game? And did playing them really help you guys be better prepared for what was in front of you down the road in the state playoffs? Because, like you said, you guys trailed them at halftime. But after you win that game 26-14, the next two opponents, you put up a combined 101 points on them.
Yeah, it was. I think no one necessarily said, but we felt like once we won that game, it was like, okay, like this is for real now. We can go take care of it. I mean, we can finish this now. And, I feel like they're the you know, best coach team that we face. They're the, just physical, you know, most physical team we face. You know, and that's, you know, I guess to take a step back in the regular season, that's, you know, we get two non-conference games and, we try to schedule those as the toughest opponents as we can get just to prepare for like a team like Pauamo. And, you know, that week nine, we went up to St. Francis and played them because they're a big physical team, well-coached team. And, that was all just, again, for preparation really for what was to come. And, in that regard, I wouldn't have changed anything, you know, that we got that one loss on our record this year. And I think it really made us who we were, cause I feel like kind of moving into the end of the season, we were flying pretty high. I mean, we were putting up a lot of points. We were, beating our rivals and, we were, you know, maybe walking around, with a little strut. And then I think, you know, we had a little humble pie, week nine against that St. Francis team and myself included, as far as, you know, taking some things away from that really kind of helped us into the playoffs where, hey, this, you know, this kind of worked against them, this didn't. And so just kind of a learning process there, even in a week nine game. But for our guys, it was, you know, an opportunity for them too to take a step back and go, okay, well, you know, we just had a little humble pie. Maybe we got to step back and reevaluate some things. And I think it really just kind of gave us a little extra focus for the playoff push. And, you know, so that was big for us.
Now, speaking of pie, Coach, the day after Thanksgiving, where you guys probably had a little pumpkin pie with your Thanksgiving dinner, the next day, you guys are at Ford Field. You finally make it to the state championship game. Now, when you guys first arrived at Ford Field, you saw the atmosphere you guys were going to be playing in. This was something that all your guys were probably too young to remember the last time that New Lothrop was in the state finals, which was 2006. So what was it like that first time that you guys get to walk out of the tunnel and see the field for the first time?
It was definitely surreal, but when we got down there Friday, we got down there early enough with the intention that we went and grabbed the team dinner. And then we went over and watched the Division IV finals Friday night. And that we walked the whole, you know, we were staying at a hotel down there in downtown and few blocks away. So we actually all walked over to the game Friday night just because I wanted them to walk into Ford Field, see how it was set up, see the atmosphere of a state championship game, just so they didn't have that, holy crap moment when we walked out the next morning. So I don't know that did that, because even I walked out Saturday morning when we were about to play and was like, kind of almost like, oh my gosh, like this it was just a really cool, amazing feeling. So I don't know if it worked or not, but, I think it was a good opportunity for some of the guys, at least to get in there because a lot of our guys have never even been to Ford Field, to see a Lions game or anything. So, for a lot of them, it was the first time they'd ever been down there and got to experience that. And then, obviously, to get back to your question, Saturday morning, when we walk out there, literally, I think our whole town was there. I mean, it was crazy. In fact, even after our game, the Division I game started, and I don't know what the numbers were, but I know our numbers on our side compared to that of what I saw from Clark. I think it was with Clarkson down there from their side. I mean, it was just that we had that many people there, so it was awesome to see that kind of support. That's just how truly special this place is here in New Ulthrop, and how important their athletic programs and football is to this this community. And so it was just a very surreal feeling.
I remember hearing a lot of the quotes from some of your own players saying, it's a dream of mine to someday play in the NFL. And you look at a kid from New Lothrop and you think, that might be too high of a mountain to climb. But then suddenly he's in an NFL stadium getting to play in front of that atmosphere. And then you start to realize that maybe that's not impossible.
No, and it's not, and it's, we definitely have some special kids that come through here. I mean, obviously talent is pretty important at the next level, but the work ethic that these kids have here, it's really unmatched by anything that I've seen or any other place I've been to coach. And, maybe it has a lot to do with, like you said, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's not a whole lot going around going on around here. There's not a whole lot to do. So when we have a workout, when we have voluntary speed trainings, when we have all this stuff, I mean, we have a packed house at everything we do because just everyone comes to everything. So, it's just a pretty special place to be and a special place to coach. And, it's, like I said, it's the work ethic here. I think it starts at home, and a lot of these kids, have farms, they work on their farm. So I guess a lot of it probably is instilled at home, so.
Like I was saying earlier, I did spend some time in New Lothrop. I rented a place right behind the school. And the first time that I got to meet you, I was talking to you about what it's like to live in New Lothrop. And I think the biggest part of that conversation that we had was you told me, hey, we're getting a new grocery store over here. There's another place to shop so we don't have to go to Montrose. So that's big news in New Lothrop.
Right. Yeah. There's, if you want fast food, you got to drive a little ways to find a McDonald's or something, at least over to Montrose or something. But yeah, there's not a whole lot going on. So, like you said, it is big news when you get a little grocery store here. So, like I said, it's definitely small town living. It's something that I love and enjoy. I guess I kind of explain it. It's like, I feel like, sometimes we're maybe behind the times in a lot of regards, which it's kind of nice. I like the kind of slower pace of that. And, and like I said, I love on a Friday night that everyone's up here, and, it's just a big deal, for all the athletic games. Obviously wrestling's a huge part of this community as well, and they've had a lot of success. And, these fans and this community just kind of follow their athletics. So very similar, like I said, we were talking about Cuomo, and I feel like we're really similar in a lot of regards, and that being one of them where, we are both kind of small towns with a lot of support, a lot of backing for the community, and a lot of the same type of kids. So I think that's why it's always a tough matchup when we face each other in just about anything, because very, very similar kids.
We're talking about small town living and how successful these programs can be in these small towns. But when you get to the state championship game, you're not going up against a small town. You're going up against Madison Heights, Madison. And they have a very talented team. I mean, New Lothrop, during the year, they rushed for a school record 3,600-plus yards in 13 games. But on the other side of the field at Ford Field, you've got Austin Brown, and all he did was rack up 55 total touchdowns this year for Madison Heights Madison. So you're in for a fight in this game. But on paper, just looking at this matchup, did you expect to have the highest scoring state championship game ever?
No, I didn't. To speak honestly on that, we knew that we could put up some points. We also felt that we were hoping we could contain him maybe a little bit better than we did. But heck, watching him on film, I don't think anyone was able to do that. And obviously, he did what he does best, and that's make plays and kept his team in the game throughout the entirety. And he is probably one of the best overall athletic quarterbacks I've ever coached against. I mean, he literally he's crazy. I mean, it's fun. I'm sure it was a fun game to watch just because he's a fun player to watch because he constantly makes plays and stretches plays out and buys time. And then before you know it, he finds someone wide open or he takes off and runs with it. So, I was happy once the game started that we were able to do some things offensively. And I think a lot of that was up front. We were able to I felt we won the battle, the line of scrimmage up front. And that was, we knew coming in that our offensive line was going to be a huge part of our success this year. And they definitely, it showed in that state championship game. But, you're talking, we had four seniors on that offensive line that three of which were, three-year starters. So that group's been together a long time. And, that was the biggest, I guess, difference for us against them was definitely our ability to control that line of scrimmage on the offensive side. And, they have the game turn out the way it did with the highest scoring game in MHSA history was pretty special, pretty awesome. And just because I know it was probably an entertaining game, it was close, and to come out on top was pretty neat. So,
with the way that game played out, you got so many touchdowns being scored, guys are putting up ridiculous offensive numbers, and like you said, if you're a fan, you're probably pumped to see this, that you're getting your money's mm-hmm. worth in the stands. But as a coach, what are you thinking watching this play out on the sidelines?
I remember throughout the game, I never was like, had a feeling of ease. I was like, literally, I felt like I had a knot in my stomach the entire game.
I was just going to ask if you needed some Tums at some point.
And literally, that's how it was. I was like, literally gut-wrenching the entire time. But at the same time, it was like, I felt once we got, on the offensive side, I felt real comfortable with our play. I felt like I was getting into a groove. The guys were getting in a groove. I was getting in a groove with the play call and just kind of with the flow. And then defensively, our defense coordinator, Brad Burnett, he does a great job with these guys, and obviously trying to contain something or trying to contain someone like Austin Brown is nearly an impossible task. But we knew defensively once the game kind of got going, hey, we just need, let's get a stop or two here or there. And we did get those stops when we needed to. I mean, we had a big interception there in the first half when they were driving down, in the red zone and right on the goal line, basically got an interception, which, negated a possible score for them. And then, obviously, the one there towards the end of the game, our interception, after we went up a touchdown there, we got that interception. And that was, that was huge. I mean, and that's in games like that, sometimes that's all you need is just that one stop. And, luckily for us, we were able to get a couple of them. And that was obviously the difference is being able to get those stops when we needed to.
In addition to that, you go into the fourth quarter. The game is tied at 30 after they outscored you 14-0 in the third quarter. So what was your mindset going into the final period, and what did you say to the guys?
We just said just kind of stay the course. We were, as I said, there was never no wavering from anything. Even though, like I said, they scored, 14 unanswered, tied it up, going into the fourth quarter. There was never a moment of doubt really within the coaching staff or with the players. I mean, you could just tell in their eyes, and it was just, hey, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We'll be fine. I mean, that third quarter was a little strange. Obviously they got the ball, the half scored. We got it. We ended up stalling out. Even when we stalled out, I mean, we did good things. We moved the ball and then they got the ball, put in our drive together and scored to make it that. And so I think we only had the ball, at the one time, I think in the third quarter. So, it wasn't as though we felt like, oh, they've, found a way to stop us, because even then we were moving the ball. So we just kind of stayed with our game plan, and what we want to do is kind of pound the ball there and off tackle and running our jet motion and trying to set things up on the edge. And we continued to do that in the fourth quarter. And Once, you know, we got the ball there and put in our drive together and we're able to put one back on the board and get back up, you know, we felt pretty good about it. But obviously they came back down and scored again. So we just knew in that fourth quarter we had to get that one stop, and we were able to do that there with a couple minutes left to go in the fourth.
The game ends. It's 50-44, the final score. You guys are state champions. As the final seconds tick away and you guys are finally able to celebrate a state championship, what is going through your mind at that moment?
I lost it, man. I like broke down and like had this wave of emotion. And it was, like you said, we've been trying to get over this hump for a long time. And we've been knocking on that door. And when the final seconds, in fact, it came down to an onside kick even at the end where, you know, they're still trying to onside kick it. So there was never really that moment of, until the final seconds ticked off, there was never really that that moment of ease. And then when that finally did happen, though, it was uncontrollable wave of emotion that I just lost it, started crying. And because, you know, for someone like yourself who maybe is around sports quite a bit and stuff, you know the work and the time, that the sacrifice that goes into something like that each and every year. You know the work that these kids put in and the time, and it's just the crazy commitment, sacrifice, and it was pretty special for me. My son was down there. He's 9 years old. He was our ball boy down there, and he was standing next to me, and I just grabbed a hold of him and lost and started crying. I mean, I feel like I'm thinking about it now. I'm getting, like, you know, emotional, choked up. It was just an emotional experience for myself and for a lot of the guys. You see, I mean, the film there, you go back, look, I mean, it's the pictures, like, everyone's crying, and it's just tears of joy and excitement, and like I said, something I'll always remember for the rest of my life, and just when, you know, walking out there and getting that trophy and turning to our crowd, it was just packed on that side, and being able to bring home a state title for the town of New Lothrop was just awesome, because this town deserves it. They invest a lot in us, and so to bring that home was just an awesome experience.
Like we said in the beginning, the guys just got their rings for winning that state championship, and now that they've gotten a taste of it, they want it again. And we've talked about your quarterback, Avery Moore. He had more than 200 yards of offense in that game. He had more than 3,300 total yards this season. In your quest for a second one, what can we expect out of him and some of the other guys this fall?
Yeah, obviously Avery Moore is a pretty special talent, you know, a real special kid. I mean, you just said 3,300 yards of total offense. I mean, that's crazy for a high school kid, to put up that kind of numbers. But that's just the type of kid he is, the type of player he is. And he does as much damage with his legs as he does with his arms. But I mean, as long as I've been coaching, I never had a kid with his talent like that at the quarterback position. He's just a big kid. He's 6'3", 210 right now. I mean, he's still 16 years old, which is crazy. And, his arm strength is like unmatched by anything I've seen, you know, so he's going to have a big year. I mean, I think most people, I mean, he's on everyone's radar now. Obviously he's already got a couple offers. He got a D1 offer now from, Youngstown State, in the Missouri Valley Conference. And, he also just got an offer this past week over break from Saginaw Valley State University. So, he's on a lot of these colleges' radars now, and I think those offers are going to continue to come, and he's going to obviously have a career after high school football. But I think for him, his sights are solely set on just winning a second state title. And obviously he's, you know, a huge leader for us and going to be moving into this season. But he's a returning captain. He was a captain last year as a junior. He's one of only two junior captains I've ever had. So it kind of says a lot about his character as well. Obviously we know he's a special talent, special player, but his leadership abilities are great as well, and he's going to be called on to be obviously a big leader for us this year. But he's got a lot coming around him as well. We got six guys coming back on the offensive side of the ball, and minus Aiden Harrison, we have every skill guy coming back. You know, we were pretty young in the backfield last year, so we have who will be a junior, Will Muron, start coming back at running back, a returning slot who's going to only be a junior, and Julius Garza, both returning receivers, and Jacob Graves and Dylan Shadick. So a lot of experience coming back as far as that goes. Now, up front is where we got to obviously probably the most important spot offensively is up front. So we got some holes to fill there, but we also have some guys that got a lot of reps this past year that are going to fill in nicely. We also had a JV team that went undefeated. They were 9-0. And you know, we had 15 kids on JV team and they went 9-0. So we just some gritty, tough kids that are coming up to fill some big holes up front. But we're really excited about what we got coming up to help out our returning starters. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we'll have a real strong secondary. Again, minus Aiden Harrison, we have our whole secondary back. We'll have two of our three linebackers back. So it's going to be just filling in some spots up front that we feel confident. We got some guys that'll be able to do that. And, we're really optimistic about the upcoming season. I know we're going to put in the work in the offseason. It's already begun. And that's the beauty of coaching here. Is one thing I don't worry about a whole lot is our offseason preparation, because I know they're going to be there. I know they're going to put in the work. And, it's just, like I said, just we're all excited about the upcoming season. We've never been in the position, obviously, as coming into a season as the returning state champs. So we know we'll have a big X on our back, but we kind of always felt that way anyway, that everyone kind of always wanted to knock us off and beat us anyway. So, in that regards, it probably won't be a whole lot different, but we know we all enjoyed that feeling. And we were just all kind of talking about that. Literally, when we walked out the field from Ford Field this past year, every one of us just were like, man, let's do that again. I mean, it was just such an amazing feeling, an amazing experience. It's addicting and we want it again. So we're going to do everything we can in our power to prepare and get ready and hopefully make another run at it.
We're talking with New Lothrop head football coach Clint Galvis. Now, you touched on it a second ago. Avery is still a young guy, but when I first met you, I called you the baby-faced assassin because you got that New Lothrop job when you were only 26 years old. And now 10 years later, you've got a resume that coaches in their 50s and 60s would kill for. How did you put it all together at such a young age?
It's just surrounding yourself with people that want the same things, that have that same drive and just positive, surround yourself with positive people. In fact, PJ Fleck, former coach at Western, now Minnesota, he's got one of the best lines that I tell my guys all the time. And he says, surround yourself with positive people. And he says, you surround yourself with turds, you're going to go to Turdville. And that's, it's kind of a silly line, but it's true. And, my big thing is just trying to keep people around that that are positive people, that are going in the same direction as you. And, and as I said before, I was blessed to get this job because the kids, they just bust their butt. They're going to do anything you ask them to do. And that's a pretty awesome thing. And I think anybody can come, that has a drive to coach and to be around kids and to be positive would be successful here because of just the kids. And, and I can't say enough about the staff that I've had. And that's another thing, just having really the same continuity, the same staff each and every year. We don't, lose guys. I mean, our people that come coach here want to stay here. And we've had the same core group of coaches since I've been here. So I think that goes a long ways in the success of a program is just having a group of coaches that all love each other and love being around each other and get along. And, that's just huge. And, I guess the love that we all have as a coaching staff spreads to our players. And there's just a genuine caring and love for everyone. And that goes a long ways. I mean, when your players know that you love them, and you know they love you, it's a pretty cool feeling when you go out there and do a game and do a battle when they know I got their back and they got mine. It's pretty special.
A lot of people probably don't know this, but when you took over at New Lothrop, they were already a successful program. But when you took over the head coaching job there, you were coming over from Hamity. That was your only coaching experience. And in that one season, you were 1-8 with the Hawks. What did you learn about yourself in that first year?
I was blessed in that regards as well, that I got my first teaching job over at Hamity, and I got to coach under Nate Williams at Flint Hamity, who was there for 2 years before he went to Carmen Ainsworth, and that's when I kind of took over the head coaching job. But Nate Williams is one of the greatest coaches and mentors that I've ever been around. And I feel like I got a lot of my, the things that I do as a coach came from him. I mean, he cares more for his players than anyone I've been around. And I knew that I wanted to be like that. I wanted to do those extra things for my guys and create this love and bring just God and things into our team and the faith and all those things that he did, I wanted to do. And I think ultimately that's kind of what's helped me as a coach. But in that 1 year when I was 1-8, we had a great group of kids. I mean, it was one of those things that we lost a lot of close games but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I still loved it. You know, I loved coaching. I loved being around those guys. I had lived here in New Lothrop while I was teaching there. So when this job came up, obviously it made a lot of sense for me to move closer to home. And, it all worked out as far as that goes. And I ended up getting this job, but I wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, just like you said, that 1-8 season kind of made me who I was as a coach. And, forced me to look at some things and figure out how I wanted to get better as a coach. And it's like I said, I look back at that and I feel blessed that I had that opportunity. And I still keep in contact with a lot of those guys on that team, on the 1-8 team, just like I keep in contact with a lot of the guys where we went 12-1 here. You know, it's no different. I still feel like I did a good job of creating that atmosphere of love and compassion and, with those same guys on a 1-8 team as I did on this 13-1 team, to be honest.
So we fast forward now, you're entering year 11 at New Lothrop and you've got a state championship in the trophy case. What's the future hold for Clint Galvis?
I don't know. I can tell you, I love it here in New Lothrop and I don't see myself going anywhere else. I'd love to stay here. My kids are in school here, so I'd love to stay here and just kind of ride it out. I mean, every year it's a new approach. It's, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm like, you know, going to be this, coaching and, for 25, 30 years. I don't know. I mean, honestly, every year is a year-to-year basis with me, and I kind of take it as it comes. And, but obviously this year moving forward, I'm super excited about the 2019 season, and that's all I'm focused on right now. Nothing really past that. So, all my focus is going to be on 2019. And then once that's over, we'll reevaluate and go from there. But right now I'm loving where I'm at and just excited for this upcoming season.
When we get closer to that 2019 season, the quest for a second straight state title, I hope we can do this again real soon.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Clint Galvis, the head coach of the New Lothrop High School football team, thank you so much for making time on A Duff Said.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Now, I know that in my last episode, I mentioned we were going to talk Tiger baseball, and believe me, we will get into the Tigers. It's a very long season. But that is going to wrap up episode 4 of A Duff Said. Many thanks again to Clint Galvis for joining us. Be listening for episode 5. That'll be dropping real soon. And remember, if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff said.